You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next up, I talked to Rory Moore from Accenture in South Africa, and we chatted all about the technology boom in Africa and how we may be on the cusp of a digital leapfrog. I asked him to explain the specifics of this boom and what we can expect from the large continent.
I think a lot of people don't really see or know what's going on in Africa from a technology perspective. And I think it's because there's a stereotypical view of Africa as being the dark continent. And in many ways, I think that holds true, because if you take any of these images you see from NASA or anything like that, you see that there's not a lot of nightlife that goes on, because most parts of Africa are not electrified like the rest of the developed world. But that kind of hides what's really going on behind the scenes, because what's really happened is, if you take most nations' path to development, you normally follow a very linear path that says, you know, you go through a certain sort of stages, you then get, you know, electricity, fixed line telephones, then you go to mobile, then you go to 2G, 3G, 4G, and off you go. But where Africa has struggled is we infrastructurally poor, which means that it's actually pretty difficult to get to many parts of Africa, simply because the roads, the railway lines, you know, just don't get there. So the power lines just don't get there. It pretty much is a very dark continent most of the time. What's really changed it, though, is mobile phones. So mobile phones really allowed Africa to leapfrog in leaps and bounds big time. So instead of having to play catch up, a lot of nations, for example, have actually just almost missed out on the whole, you know, 1G, 2G, 3G, and gone straight to 4G. Right. And I'll give you a good example of Rwanda. So Rwanda is an interesting example where we know it as, you know, a nation that, you know, 20 years ago or so was known for the genocide, famine, disease, drought. But since then, it's actually picked up a hell of a lot since the late 90s, early 2000s. And what we've seen is that they are investing huge in technology, and you'll find that President Kagame, you know, maybe not the most straight up and down innocent man you've ever met, but I think what he is doing is almost like following in a Singaporean footsteps.
Right.
So you'll find that he's almost like a benevolent dictator in many ways. And he's the only head of state from Africa that goes to CES in Las Vegas every single year and takes a full government delegation, because they're that keen on really making sure that, you know, Rwanda and Kigali specifically becomes a first-rate technology nation, because they've got nothing else. There's no real minerals or trade or whatever it might be. And that's only really been enabled by this huge jump in mobile technology. Skype in the US was obviously really big, but it wasn't on a mobile platform until, you know, fairly recently. You know, and as late as 2009, there wasn't a mobile platform because most people didn't see the need. You've got a laptop with power, where you can get anything you need and off you go. So all of a sudden through mobile, you find that people can you know, make technological leaps and bounds. So that's one thing. I think that's been grown by what we call a sort of broadband growth. So there's about a 51% you know, mobile broadband growth year on year, which is huge. The other thing is that there's a huge power shift, economic power shift happening, where literally, you know, you've got 50% of the world's population growth happening on the African continent. So a very young, vibrant population coming through. And that's what we call the digital natives. So here, people are that, you know, they haven't even learned how to use a computer, but they're using through a mobile phone can literally, you know, learn to download apps, engage, stream if they really wanted to. They could listen to 95BFM and hear Mikey Havoc himself going for gold. Literally, and this is a scary thing. If you think of a stat, is that a farmer in Kenya today has, through his mobile phone, has access to as much information as Bill Clinton had in his second term. So that's the most powerful man, most powerful man on the planet. You know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, who then someone in Africa just 20 years later can access the same amount of information, which is quite powerful.
It is,
The other thing we're seeing is that if you take these disaster zones, so I'll give you a couple of interesting stories, is that when you have these disasters like hurricanes and floods and that kind of stuff, so with you know, some of the recent sort of natural disasters off the coast recently, you found that there's no early warning signs. So there's very limited radar and that kind of stuff. So how do you know when a hurricane or a gale force is coming through? And interesting, what started to happen was a lot of the disaster recovery firms would then hand out mobile phones after the fact to some fishermen that were out at sea. And then the idea was that the fishermen, if there was like big waves or storms coming, they could radio in ahead of time and prepare people to, you know, batten down the hatches and prepare for the worst. And which they did. But there was also an indirect benefit, which is quite interesting, which was that now that they were out there with mobile phones, they all of a sudden had access to the internet.
Yeah.
And we're now looking and going, well, if I bring my catch in now and my fish, I can trade it for whatever price. But if I look and I hold on, you know, tomorrow could be a better catch and a better trading price. So I'll stay out today, come in tomorrow, and actually get a better price for my catch, which meant economically people were starting to benefit. So it has this obviously a multiplicative effect.
Yeah, sort of a ripple effect.
Yeah, yeah. And that's also quite interesting, which is if you take industrialization, which is a big push, and everyone talks in Africa about we've got to industrialize. But industrialization is like a long-term play. You know, if you take building highways and, you know, nuclear reactors and all sorts of things, it takes a long sort of time. It's like generations, which, you know, people are very impatient these days. And if you look at any sort of high tech investment, so when you have technology being invested in heavily, it actually has a 5-to-1 indirect job creation role. So what do we need most in Africa? We need jobs. Where do jobs get created? Very little in the formal space. So, you know, banks are shedding jobs. You know, they're big, big heavy organizations are actually, you know, almost downsizing with technology. So jobs are being created in the tech startup space. So the tech startup space is really where we can see a lot of high growth happening in Africa, and that's where you need it. So what does Africa need? Growth. And growth leads to jobs. Jobs leads to everyone coming into what we call the middle class, because you've got this massive missing middle. So that's kind of where we see it happening, and that's all going to be fueled by technology.
I sort of thinking in terms of the leapfrogging effect in, you know, kind of going ahead of other countries. Somewhere like Somaliland, which has done the iris scanning technology for the elections, you know, that's quite incredible, isn't it? Because they're sort of a leader in that sense of, you know, nobody else does that for their democratic elections or presidential elections, you know, and they're sort of leapfrogging in that sense. Is there other things like that are happening around Africa that people are, you know, overtaking the rest of the world, perhaps?
Look, so I mean, the biggest thing is if you take mobile transactions. I mean, there are more mobile transactions in Africa than anywhere else on any other continent.
Wow!
And that's simply because mobile is the primary port of call where for most people in the developed world, you've got literally your laptop and whatever else you have. So from a mobile penetration, we see something like 85%, which is pretty high. In fact, there are more people that have mobile phones than have bank accounts. How about that?
Wow.
That's quite scary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, there's that old saying, banking is necessary, banks are not. And I think that's where Africa is pioneering. And that's when you talk about the technology leapfrog. Yes, you got the iris scanning, that kind of stuff. And most of the time, it's actually because of it's using mobile phones. So the camera on your phone, if you think about it now, the camera on your phone is a pretty, you know, what, 12 megapixel. It's pretty high res now.
Yeah.
So iris scanning and the rest, as long as you've got an Android or iOS phone or whatever else you got, you can actually do exactly those sort of things. I'm not familiar with the Somali elections, but I'd be pretty keen to see how it all pans out. Here's something that's going to be quite interesting. So if you take technology, what's going to be quite important for Africa, if we had to just maybe shift gears ever so slightly into Bitcoin and blockchain.
Right.
So you take Africa, and Africa is a pretty complex continent. People think it's one country, but it's a whole continent of like about 52, depending on how many coups and revolutions we have during the last financial year. But there's about 54 nations with 54 different currencies and laws and languages and all sorts of things. So it's a pretty complex space. And I think one of the big things that will change that is going to be blockchain. And blockchain technology will do two things. It'll be easier to trade. It'll remove corruption, because it's pretty difficult if you take blockchain being immutable and a distributed ledger, you can't change things. So, for example, if I had to look at Nigeria is known for being corrupt.
Right.
But, you know, and if you've got a central database of properties and a store of value, you know, if you pay someone enough, they can probably go into the database and change it for you. And then all of a sudden, boom, you own your property.
Mm.
But if that registers on blockchain, then you can't change it because it's a distributed ledger, which means you can't actually mess with it.
Right.
So blockchain removes corruption.
Mm.
If you take Bitcoin, and I think what will happen is when the next global financial crisis, we'll see the world flood normally to gold, but I think to Bitcoin. And once that happens, then you've got a new reserve currency other than the dollar. And then once that is in place, you know, Africa will adopt Bitcoin as a accepted currency.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're on a good wicket.
Yeah.
The other thing is that if you had to send money around Africa, it's pretty difficult. You know, remittances are quite tricky, you know, because of the different laws, the regulations and banking.
Mm.
And blockchain and Bitcoin will allow people to do exactly that, send money pretty easily without having to have, you know, the threat of it being taxed at 17 different points across the spectrum.
Right.
So blockchain will do a couple of things.
Throughout nations and...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So blockchain, I think, will really free up a lot of sort of pent-up investment in many ways as money starts to flow pretty easily. So there'll be huge leaps and bounds that we'll see coming soon.
Awesome. That's very exciting, isn't it? It's... Yeah, I hope that will...
Well, it is, yeah.
And
I do hope it all comes out. You're right, it is exciting because there's a lot of potential and it's almost like you can't really see it coming.
No, exactly.
So, I mean, you can't. And then when it suddenly arrives, boom, there it is. And then, like, it sort of becomes mainstream.
Mm.
So we see, for example, why M-Pesa took off really quickly, but it took off because the government started to pay a lot of the civil servants in basically through the mobile wallet, which meant you now had, you know, money coming in and then then they would want to send it around and pay through it. So that kickstarts the economy pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So the technology revolution will do a couple of things. Is that it will allow for, you know, free and fair elections so democracy can thrive, because it's getting harder and harder to rig elections with, like you say, IRS scanners and blockchain technology, meaning that you can't change the results, much like perhaps we like to think that maybe the Russians meddled in the American election.
Yes.
And maybe they meddled in your one as well. Who knows? Huh? So you just don't know.
Yeah, but so it brings that it sort means, of legitimacy means, yeah, we, to it.
Hello? Sorry, I lost you there.
Oh, I said it's just, it's good that it brings that sort of legitimacy to it, which is, you know, there's no sort of way that people can object because it's...
Yeah, it's pretty immutable,
yeah.
Which is great. So if you take what's happening, it's kind of this underground movement, but where I think Africa is leading, where it is great is in mobile technology, simply because that was the only form of tech available. But it's kind of a strange twist of fate in that... the world is migrating towards mobile. So, you know, most of the time now you're probably reading emails on mobile, your Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, all that kind of stuff. Are you on LinkedIn, Kellyanne, right?
I'm not on LinkedIn, no.
Find you on LinkedIn. I know.
I know. I should get on LinkedIn. I'm more of a social media gal myself. Facebook and all that. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's all I have time for because I have to let somebody else use the studio. But it's been so awesome to talk to you. And, yeah, you're obviously very knowledgeable on the topic. So it's really cool to hear what you have to say.
Sorry, one last thing is just what I forgot to mention to you is that if you look at the financial mechanism, so what's the last thing is around, you know, the banking models for technology growth have pretty much been starved.
Right.
So people have struggled to really grow their technology ideas. But what we're seeing recently is that 30% of the venture capital funding coming into Africa over the last 2 years has gone into fintech or high tech, which is great.
Right.
So it's not going into, I mean, a lot of the speculative venture capital, which is around how you get growth going, is not going necessarily only to farms, agriculture, power and construction, but it's going into high growth like technology, fintech, high tech, that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I think we're going to see the continued spiral growth happening.
Yeah.
And I think we're just on the tip, we're on the cusp of that now.
Trust BFM, sure can.
Second time's the charm. I spoke with Tim Barnett earlier from the National Building Financial Capability Charitable Trust, the best named organisation under the new government. I started off by asking Tim